So we give you a big shikara to Rav Rumi, my dear, dear friend, for inviting me, and also shikara to Lucy for making arrangements, shikara. And Rishus Kol HaKol HaKodesh Hazeh. It's very, very special that you're devoting your weeknights to coming to learn Torah. It's beautiful. Ashrecha. Gvaldi, Gvaldi, Gvaldi. So in this period of Bein HaMetzorim, a lot of shilas arise. So I got interesting shilas. Let's say somebody wanted to know about renovating a home during the 3 weeks. You already started last week. Another person wants to know about shopping. Their child is going to sleepaway camp. They let a shop. Shafionu's. Plethora of shilas also regards to cutting nails. Is cutting nails allowed during the 3 weeks? I'm trying to remember what else came up. Some more fascinating shilas about a barber. Is a barber allowed to have his store open during the 3 weeks? Another very provocative shiloh is about a person that owns a restaurant during the 9 days. Is he allowed to stay open? Is he have to close up? So I don't know if we're going to have time to treat all these shilohs tonight, but I would like to start with something that I think is nagel lemaisa for everybody and for the hamoydam, the entire populace. And the shishalu, I think that we have to all treat very carefully. And it actually came up. Somebody called me yesterday, and he said that if the past Tainus, Shavasa Bertamus, was very difficult for him because of the extreme heat, and now he wants to be super vigilant and prophylactically, preventively, he wants to know what his Aterim are as far as Tisha B'Av. So I looked at the call in a very, I didn't say anything, but I was very disappointed. I said, Tisha B'Av, who, we're not having Tisha B'Av, Mashiach is coming. I'm a Mashiachist. Not in the traditional sense of 770, but I'm a Mashiachist. B'chol yoyim, achakaloy b'chol yoyim. I try to, you know, they say that B'Shem Rav Huttner and the Lubavitch Rebbe, they said, Medach Brendan Mashiach. You can't wait for Mashiach to come. Carpe diem, we got to seize the moment, and we're the harbingers for Mashiach. We have to bring Mashiach. How do you bring Mashiach? So I'll give you the whole sales pitch. Simple, kirub. The more kirub you do, the more Mashiach will come. Achdus, Rabbi Shalom wants unity. He wants to see, he doesn't want to see us fragmented and splintered and fractured. He doesn't want to see the divisiveness and hostility. He wants to see that the Yidin, the Sezaman, that we're together, the Ba'aftas, Vashol, Vashab, that we love each other, that every Jew counts, and we're bringing in as many people to the fold as possible. Rav Shteinman Zatzal, the Heligur Rav Shteinman, the Gadol Hador, before he was Nifter, he said that the Harosh Shah, he says the Chiyuv, the biggest Chiyuv today is to be Makarav as many Nefoshes and Neshamas as possible. That's what he said. They asked Rav Revelia Bruni from the Mirror in the Agudah Convention. They said, what's the most tragic, the most colossal tragedy facing the Jewish world today? The most dire predicament. He said, the fact that 9 out of 10 Jews are assimilating. He said it, not me. So obviously, I don't want Tisha B'Av. On the other hand, we have to be prepared for the best scenarios and also for Chas V'Shalom, the worst scenarios. So the worst scenario, if there will be a Tisha B'Av, what do you do if it's extreme heat? Are there any Aterim? And if you have to break the fast, it's a little different this year. It's not conventional. It's Motzei Shabbos, which also came out last year. So how do you proceed as far as Halacha is concerned? And there are people that are sensitive to the heat. There are people that could dehydrate easily. There are people that have a weak constitution, weak metabolism, physiologically, endocrinologically. They're compromised. So what do you do in such a situation? That was A. And the other shiloh I got a few days ago was somebody whose wife is nursing and she wanted to know how should she conduct herself as far as the nursing the child is concerned. So it's very, very interesting. The fact is that there's a Ramah in Tavchuf Nun, Sif Aleph. In this simen, the Mechaber is a little vague and nebulous. The Mechaber doesn't say. He just says that there's a Chiyuv in regards to Shar Tanais, in regards to the other fast days that everybody has to fast. The Ramado says that Mubaris Menikois, a pregnant woman, a nursing woman, Shemistaris Harbe, that are very much in pain, that they feel afflicted, they feel that they are in a compromised state, they're in pain, so he says that they don't have to fast. Now right away, The Chavos Yoyer and the Siddur Yaivitz are both very critical on the Ramah. They feel he's being overly stringent and strident because he doesn't have to say Harbe. Mistarois is sufficient. You don't have to give any type of corollary to the Mistarois. Mistarois, why say Harbe? Even if the Mistarois. And therefore they say that if a woman is nursing a pregnant for the Shar Tanesim, for the other three Tanesim, it's okay, as long as she's not feeling well. However, the Mechaber elsewhere, Tafkuf Nun Hei, the Mechaber says explicitly, Beferish, the Mechaber does say that women are exempt, that any nursing a pregnant woman is exempt from the other Tanesim. But that's the other Tanesim. There's a Chumra of Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is very, very, very chumradic. It's very stringent. It's unique and exceptional. It's almost akin and on par with Yom Kippur. Obviously, Yom Kippur is the only derisive fast we have. But Tisha B'Av is considered to be a Zoyvi, a Divri Kabbalah, a Ke'en of derisive. And therefore, when it comes to Tisha B'Av, we have to be exceedingly cautious. We have to be very, very exercise a lot of caution and be very, very careful. And that's why when it comes to Tisha B'Av, unless a person is a Cholo She'en Bo Sakana, the person is going to be basically bedridden. The person's not mortally ill. That's a Cholo She'esh Bo Sakana. The person's life is in danger. Their life is in peril. Their life is being jeopardized by the fast. We're not talking about that. Even if a person has a virus or a flu, or a person is sick enough that they're almost incapacitated, not that it doesn't mean debilitated. Incapacitated meaning that the person can be bedridden. Cholo She'en Bo Sakana, where the person is being medicated for something. Or even if the person is not being medicated, but the person is zapped and enervated of any type of kaifas, and the person's in bed, in such a case, a person would be potter from fasting on Tisha B'Av. Chalos she'ein bo sakana, and the Ramah uses the language of tsar gadol. If a person has great pain, then the person does not have to fast on Tisha B'Av. However, there's a Moreh Dikah Chiddush, and the Moreh Dikah Chiddush is in Tafkuf Nun Tes, it's a Bir Halacha, and it's as well as Rav Kiv Eger, and really the Makar for the Bir Halacha and for Rav Kiv Eger is a Shmos Yaakov, and Shmos Yaakov in Chel Gimel Sinem Lamed Zayin says that a Tisha B'Av Shenitcha, a deferred or postponed or delayed Tisha B'Av, as it happens that this year we should all be spared, Mashiach should be here, we shouldn't have to fast, but if Mashiach does not come and we have to fast, that's called a Nitcha, where it falls in on Sunday as opposed to falling in on Shabbos. And the Moreh Dikah Chiddush is that even Chaylik Saks, even if a person is a little bit sick, or he says, Mubaris Shiyesh Bamechush, a pregnant woman that has a complaint, it's sufficient to exempt the person and absolve the person and almost exonerate the person from any type of fast. That's it. So it means if a person is not feeling well, the Chasv Chalila. I'm not, you know, first of all, I'm not the Gemara Rav here. You have a Rav, Baruch Hashem, a very, very, very chashuv, illustrious Rav of Schiffenbauer. Shlita, I know him very, very well, you know, for years from Yeshiva. You don't need me to give any piskei halacha. I'm not paskei for anybody. I'm just giving you a shiur. That's it. I'm saying, but I'm not getting, just have to give you a little caveat and boy, you know, just and tell you that my disclaimer is that you have to understand that even though he says that even if a person's not feeling well a little, you should call up a Rav and ask a shiloh. We don't do things unilaterally. That's how a Klal Yisrael operates. We call it our rabbanim. Hopefully, your rabb is available. If he's not available, there's Kanai Yohar, Baruch Hashem, there's many different rabbanim to call. But this is a very, very fascinating exception that you don't find elsewhere, the nitcha. Now, what's pshat? Why should nitcha be treated lightly? A. B. One second. What about tiny shows? What about partial fasting? So the guy's not feeling well, or he anticipates not feeling well, but he knows that he can fast a few hours until he's chalashing, you know, until he's collapsing. Should he fast partially? Ah, this is a big machlokes abayiskim also. Tanya shows. The Eliyahu Rabba says that you are obligated, it's mandated. It's a mamash obligatory. You have to do tanya shows. As long as you could fast, you should fast. However, the Maram Shik and the Chidah and the Sofet Shabbat, they say no. That if you're absolved from fasting, you don't have to fast in Gansen, the Chla. However, our opponent that say that the nighttime much of Shabbos fast. It's a few hours. You're going to go to sleep. Most people don't get up for snacks and milk. Some people do. Some people, they go to the kitchen in the middle of the night, they snack. Most people don't. So you could be one of the most people that don't snack in the middle of the night. They say that you have to show Ima Yinocha B'Tzara. You have to show the camaraderie. You have to show the kinship that we have tsar. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you a fascinating chiddush. Somebody asked me today, a shiloh. He says his kid, he forgot to give his little kid, a little kid, he forgot to give a little kid a haircut. He wants to know if he's allowed to give the haircut, because he's a little kid, and there's no avelus, generally speaking, by a little child. So most barber shops are closed now. This is when the barbers all go on vacation. So is he allowed to go ahead and give the kid a haircut? And this is, it's a machlokes, a sharitzim brings down between the Elia Rabba and the Chayyadam. Chayyadam says, no problem. Elia Rabba says, one second. If the parent is going to do it, then he's not showing agmas nefesh. You're supposed to show emotional anguish. You're supposed to show the fact that we are living in gulls. And anybody who forgot to live in gulls, you have Poway, California, you have Pittsburgh, unfortunately Pennsylvania, you have the neo-Nazis, you have these congresswomen that are reminding us every single day that we are in gulls. I have my neighbors on the block I live in. Every Shabbos they play music on the highest decibel possible. My windows are shaking like any. I tell the kids, I say it's gulls. Otherwise we forget we're in gulls. Okay, Baruch Hashem for gulls. You know, to remind her that we're in gulls. Therefore, according to the Eli Rabbi, I'm going to give the kid a haircut. Why? Even though you should be allowed to, but then it stares from the Amas Nefesh. You have to show Agmas Nefesh. Therefore, some Achronim bring down that even if you're allowed to eat on the Motzei Shabbos, the night time, don't eat, even though you're not chayiv in shalis and partial fasting. Right. What about Shiurim? You know, that if you're going to eat, do you have to do like Yom Kippur and have Mali Lug? You know, so most contemporary Poskim, many contemporary Poskims hold that we don't have to, although there are plenty that say that you should. But Lamaisa, if I'm not mistaken, I think we're Balsamis, it's all held that you don't have to eat Machmir. Like that. Let's go back to our Yisod. What's shot in the Nitzvah, the third time, that there's a kula? So I'll tell you, share with you a very, very startling and astonishing shiloh. Maybe it's not so startling and astonishing, maybe you've heard it before, but I think that the underpinnings and the root, if you get the rudimentary understanding, you want to see what's the rudimentary understanding behind, what does it mean a Nitzvah? The empirical definition of a Nitzvah. So Shiloh is about a child, a Kotenshin Eskadel. Now everybody that was born, anybody of you that were born between Pesach and Shavuos, during Shavuos, it's almost every Bar Mitzvah Bachur is Pshetel, right, about Kotenshin Eskadel, if a child grows up and becomes a Bar Mitzvah, during Shavuos. Okay, so here's a basically a similar type of Shiloh. A child is born on Yud Av. Yud Av is his birthday. And the year with Tisha B'Av is Chalom Shabbos. The baby is born on Yud Av. 13 years later, Tisha B'Av coincides with Shabbos. Tisha B'Av that year is a Nitzeh. Should that child now fast, his birthday is on the 10th day of Av. It's a fascinating shiloh. So says the Avnei Nezer Azor. Listen to what he says. Listen to this chashuv. He says, the Nitzchah fast on Yud Av is a Tashlumin. You hear? It's a Tashlumin. That means, Tashlum means you're compensating. Compensating means it's not authentic. There's no mamushes to it, really. It's basically, it's sort of like a makeup to pacify or mollify the day. But Lamais of Emes, it's only a makeup. You missed the moment, so to speak. So he says, one second, what's his right for that? His right for that is often a Ramah, a Beferish Ramah, a Bavusta Ramah. Ramah says that on Tisha B'Av of Shabbos, it's obviously we don't fast, but the Baruch Shabbat Sinim, things that are more intimate, you have to be knowing. Now, Lamai says it's a big Kiddush because it's a Ramah Chlegis between the Torah and the Rashba. The Torah holds that you have to be knowing Baruch Shabbat Sinim on Shabbos of Tisha B'Av. That means that no Tashma Shemitah, no intimacy, and perhaps other things as well. The Rashba says, no way! The Rashba says that there's no Tisha B'Av today. There's absolutely no Tisha B'Av. It's like it's mamash eviscerated to Tisha B'Av. It's obliterated. There's no Tisha B'Av b'chlal. The Ramah doesn't pass like that. The Ramah sides like the Tor and the Rush. His father, the Tor's father, the Rush. That Devarim Shabbat Sina Anoik on Shabbos. Like Bezoi, if it's night on Shabbos, then it shows you that inherently that day still has Tisha B'Av. And the next day is only a replacement, a compensation, a tashlum. But it's not the Ikra fast. Then there's Maharsham, Chelek Gimel, the Chubas of Maharsham, Shin Samach Gimel. And Shin Samach Gimel, the Marsham says, I'll give you another raya. He says, if somebody has a bris on Sunday, which is a nitche, think about this, then he's allowed to go ahead and eat by the bris. And after he eats, the Tainus has ceased and desisted. It stopped. It's nullified. Why? He says, if that was actually the fast, Sunday, the nitche, then he'd have to be mashlam throughout the day. He says, therefore, it could be, potentially, this is a raya, that it's only a tashlum. However, not so cautious. Because all the achrayim want to say that when it's a nitche, it means that the ikar tarkonos chazal, the initial enactment the chazal made, it means that they anticipated the fact that Tisha B'Av can be chal on Shabbos, and they said that's it's calendarically it's probable, but hashkafically and halachically it's improbable. You can't conduct the fast on Shabbos. And therefore they totally were oiker, they totally uprooted the fast from Shabbos, and Sunday is the ikar tainus. So Sunday's not just a mere tashlum and compensation, but Sunday is the crux. Sunday is the mainstay of the fast. And this is, Divrei Malkiel brings us down in the Tshuvas, and also in Shal Shuvas Sofonis Paneach, the Rugger Shervin in Shal Shuvas also says like this, that Sunday, the Nitche is the tainus. Come to Chais. Now it comes out like this then. Listen so beautifully. Like the Divrei Malkiel and the Rugger Shervin, the kid has to fast on Sunday if his birthday's on Sunday, because that's the ikar tainus. It's not a tashlumin. It's not a makeup from the day before, and he was still 12. Oh, but lefi da'at hanei lefi d'sofer shomer. It's just a makeup. On Shabbos, when the ikar fast happened, he was 12. He wasn't 13 yet. And therefore, he wouldn't have to fast. L'chora. Oh, so we save these questions for later, because I didn't want to get sidetracked. So, Lamaisa, it could be that the kulos of mitzvah, the kulos, that we said that even a person just has a little, even a headache. Again, you have to ask the rabbi. Don't do anything unilaterally. But it's because it's a tashlum. Like the Avnei Nezer, not like the rabbi Chavi and the different Malkiah. Now, one second, we have another shayla. So the guy says he can't sustain himself on the tainus because he's getting migraines because of the heat. Now, first of all, a person should make sure to have, not to be stingy or frugal, but have air conditioning. Okay, so say he has to go to shul, he's getting exposed to the heat. Okay, listen, I'm not judging anybody. Every case is individualistic. But you have to break the fast. What do you do about Abdullah? So the Shari Tshuva brings down that you should make Abdullah as soon as, immediately as possible at the Shabbos. Mashmois, the Shari Tshuva is that on Matzah Shabbos you should make Abdullah, even though if you're not going to eat until the next day. However, Ruba the Ruba, most Paiskim don't say like that. They say that you shouldn't make Havdalah immediately. Make Havdalah on Sunday, the next day, before you eat. Not to presuppose that you're going to eat, even though you know you're going to eat. Not to anticipate it. Don't be presumptuous. Don't do it prematurely. But make the Havdalah right before you eat the next day. A woman, again, a woman's nursing, and if she feels a shtickle schwach, she feels schwach, she feels she's weak, she has a heter to not fast. But she has to hear Abdullah though first. But who makes Abdullah? So there's a huge, this opens a Pandora's box. A very, very big challenge. Because many Rishonim say that a woman is not Chayavos in Abdullah Bechlal. Other Rishonim say that they are Chayavos. But the preference is for a man to make Abdullah on their behalf. So if there's no man available, if she's never all alone, and she becomes a summer bachelorette, you know, instead of the opposite, right? For some reason, she's the one that's alone. Then, l'chora pashto, she has to make Abdullah. However, if she's not alone, and she has a man in the house, then the man should make Abdullah. Obviously, he can't drink the wine of the grape juice because it's fasting. She could drink it, or a child could drink it. And now he's yoitzer. He fulfills his obligation of Abdullah the next night, Sunday night. He doesn't have to make Abdullah. By the way, just a Heora Ba'alma, tangential Heora, is that Lamaisa, many people don't know what to make for Abdullah. It's only we make the ner, Motzei Shabbos. If a person forgets to do the ner, Motzei Shabbos, then there is no ner Sunday night. And he does not say, Hinei Kel Yeshuasi. There is a minhag in Chabad and some other Hasidic groups that they do say, Hinei Kel Yeshuasi. It's a machlokes. But our minhag is not to say, Hinei Kel Yeshuasi. We just say the Baruch HaGefen, we say, Amadim, Bekadosh Kol, and Shoyim. That's it. However, if he's going to make Havdalah, he could be Yotzei Kol Bnei Beisai, they don't have to hear it. Sunday night, they don't have to hear Havdalah. Here,
he doesn't have to do
Sunday himself. He doesn't have to do himself, no. Now, what about the child? A child doesn't have to fast. Very clear, right? Everybody understands that a child doesn't have to fast. Does a child have to make Havdalah when a child is going to eat on Sunday Tisha B'Av? Does a child have to make Havdalah? So it's very interesting. Machloikas Haparskin. The Halakha of Yeshua Leib Diskin, Maril Diskin, and Kutchas Achroi. Maril Diskin says that he has to make Havdalah because he's no different than a Chayla. The same way if a Chayla breaks his fast, he has to make Havdalah. Why should a child be different? A child also has to make Havdalah. However, the other Paiskim, the Volyasha Paskas like this, and I'd say most Paiskim. Hold that the child does not make Havdalah. Why? Because why should he make Havdalah? He's not Chayiv. All his obligations revolve around chinuch, educating himself, or the parent educating the child. So you're educating the child that he should make Havdalah on Tisha B'Av. He's going to outgrow that any day, any year. It's never going to be Nagel Lamaisa to make Havdalah. He should always be healthy and well. He should, if he has Gezunt, Baruch Hashem, as Hashem, a child, every child should have gesund. Then, unless Chashom is a cronker child, is a sickly child. That's a different story, but that's a Yotzei Min HaKlal. Halacha wouldn't dictate that ever, based on a sickly child. So Halacha dictates that a child, the presumption is that the child will be healthy when he grows up, as he's healthy now, and therefore he would never make Havdalah with Tisha B'Av. By Bazai, it comes out that there's no need for him to make Havdalah now. Furthermore, we daven every day that Mashiach should come. It's one of the first questions you ask when you get up there after 120 years. Were you mitzapel Yeshua? Did you await the salvation? Did you pray for Mashiach? Did you do something to bring the Mashiach? How much kiruv did you do? How many neshamas did you bring back? This is what we're asked. So one second, if that's the case, then the whole Tisha B'Av will be nullified and will dissipate. So if we'll dissipate, so you'd be mechanechem to make Havdalah on a Tisha B'Av when we're hoping there won't be Tisha B'Av. So therefore, a child would not have to make Havdalah according to most poison. Now, meat. Somebody asked me about eating chicken during the 9 days. I have to share with you the fact that the entire, it's a minhag, it's not halacha, although it became halacha, but it's based on the Baba Basra Daf Tzadik, the Gemara speaks about after the Horm Bias, we should all be so devastated that none of us should ever have any desire or temptation or appetite to eat meat. Because meat is correlated with simcha. And we can't have simcha after there's no shechina. The shechina, I mean, the shechina is here, but it's diminished so substantially. Therefore, the Gemara Baba Basra wants to say that you're not allowed to eat any meat, have any wine. No, there's no, you know, unless it's a mitzvah. Otherwise, throughout the year, throughout the day, no meat or wine, no music. However, the Gemara ends up, the consensus of the Gemara is that it's a gezeira she'en yochel lamed. It's something that is not sustainable. It's an edict that is not sustainable, that most people can't cope with this, and therefore, Chazal always understood human psychology, the dynamics of human emotion, and therefore they said that that's not something that's shy to forbid. And therefore, it's not forbidden. However, this Gemara Tainus, that lamed of the base, the Gemara speaks about Sudas Mafsekes, about the meal that's eaten right before Tisha B'Av, and it says over there that you're not allowed to have any meat during that meal. The Rambam extends that, and he says that before Tisha B'Av as well, before the Sudas Mafsekes, is also one should not eat meat. And that's what our conduct, Our anhaga is predicated on, based on that Rambam and that Gemara kind of stuff on the base. And therefore the Shulchan Aruch proposes three different potential. The first one, he says, is the entire 3 weeks no meat. I don't know. Listen, it's funny because somebody called me that works in a hospital. He said he has a patient that insists that the entire 3 weeks, he never heard of it. I said, what do you mean? I said, this patient is a very big Talmud Chacham. He knows. It's a Shulchan Aruch. We know one of us. Listen, I don't think anybody would want to adopt that. But the entire 3 weeks, no meat. Terrible, right? Becoming a vegan for 3 weeks. Or Rosh Chodesh. Mechaber also brings down Rosh Chodesh from Rosh Chodesh. Or he says after Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is a day of Simcha. And therefore we're not going to ordain that you can't eat meat on Rosh Chodesh, a day of Simcha. However, our Hanhaga, we follow the rule that we don't eat even on Rosh Chodesh because this Rosh Chodesh was a semel, was like the paradigm for Korban. And also because it's the yahrzeit of Aaron HaKohen Gadol. Therefore, it's not such a Yom Simcha because it was Rosh Chodesh that was really the precipitator for all the Korban. And therefore, we abstain from Rosh Chodesh the entire 9 days. Now, what's interesting though is that the Halacha says that if you make a Suas Mitzvah, for example, a Siyam, there's a lot of controversy about a Siyam. I'm not going to get into it. I don't want to be too controversial. I don't want to say what I feel. Because if I say what I feel, I'm going to alienate myself maybe from you. And I don't want to be in the news. I like being, you know, quiet. So therefore, I'm sorry to disappoint you. And also, it's being recorded. This may end up in Torah anytime or someplace. Therefore, I don't want to get eggshells or apples thrown at me. But I have to tell you that, you know, I have a lot of, let's just say, I'm very reticent about this human that take place. There is actually some institutions, some restaurants, where they have an Ashiach come, and he just makes every night. He just goes, pops in for the clients, and he makes a siyum. Very, very appropriate, right? I don't know. I'm not so sure how appropriate it is. But Lamaisa, practically speaking, there are people that make siyum, and what they do is they speed up. They're learning something, they speed it up. The Mishnah Berurah says you can't hasten your learning in order to make a siyum. That's what he says. You're not going to hasten your learning. You're not going to reserve in advance where you really have a Seder HaLimud where you should have finished, let's say, Masech is needed the Daf Yomi a few months ago, but you're going to save it for the 9 days. Mishnah Berurah is very astute about it. And he feels that you're being derelict, basically. And only derelict, he feels it's inappropriate. However, Rabbi Yaakov Emden is malamed tzchus on everybody that does it, and he says it's a good thing. He says, because the person is then zaris, or meshubach, he calls a person. He says, and it's a wonderful thing, he says that a person could do this. As a matter of fact, the Sanzer, the Divrei Chaim, used to make a siyum every single day, if I'm not mistaken, I think until the seventh day of the 9 days. And the Chiddush Yavrim says that there's a huge inyan in the Hasidus. The Hasidim do make siyumim every single day. And I'll tell you why he says it in a minute. Before we get to Chiddush Yavrim, I want to share with you the Mari de Kedush from the Kedushas Yantif. Halakha Kedushas Yantif. The Kedushas Yantif says that the reason why you should make a siyum every single day, he says, because it's a dinyoyim then. He says you're emulating, it's a semblance, he says, of Yemois Mashiach. When these weeks, the 3 weeks, the 21 and 22 days, Machlokes 21 and 22 days, have calculated precisely, but that these days will turn into Yemei Simcha, into Yontif. We're going to have this huge Yontif. Imagine how many days off from school. The problem is that we live on the Eastern, we live on the East Coast, right? The Western Hemisphere, most places have school, but Australia, where it's winter, they're going to have off from school the entire, it's a whole 3 week Yontif. It's Gavaldi, no work. Tell your boss, try to explain to your boss, you have enough hard time. Tell them about Pesach and Shavuos, you never heard of Shavuos. Tell them about 3 week Yontif, a 3 week Yontif that's coming up. So he says, therefore you should eat meat and drink wine, you should make a siyum, bedafka. Why bedafka? Mitashtolz you should do it. Why mitashtolz? Because this is a ka'ein of Yemos Mashiach. Chiddush Yavrim says something beautiful. He says, the reason why you make a siyum on the 9 days, it's a mitzvah to make a siyum on the 9 days, is because when you have people over, he says, it's the antidote. What does it mean, it's the antidote? It means that basically this is the way to remedy the whole korban, the whole destruction. How do we remedy the whole destruction? By having achva bereus, by having friendship, and by forging unity amongst people. So I have a shtickle tying on this because most people when they make a siyum, they invite their intimates, mamash, their best friends, or their family. L'chara, according to the halakha Chiddush Yavrim, the Gera Rebbe, you should dafka invite people to be makara for people. Whether they're fried, whether they're hamish, but that they went off. No, I always marvel at the Bali Tshuva that BGX has, the Mesiris Nefesh that they have. that they have to tell their parents we can't have meat during these days. The parents think they're in sugar, kavarin, you know, they mamash want the sugar, and then they fast. You know how hard it is for fast? It's unbelievable, Mesiras Nefesh that they have. Unbelievable. I have one student, mamash, an amazing story, one student who was so much Nefesh that she couldn't convince her parents. She couldn't convince her parents to become kosher. And they insisted that she eat in their house. So she became not a vegetarian. Azoi Vaif, she became vegan. Vegan, you can't have eggs. She even came to my house once for a Suda Shabbos, and we tried to serve her things, and she said, I have to be consistent. If I break my ritual over here, imagine this self-control with this one. If I break it over here, then I'll break it elsewhere. So I said, what can we feed you? She says, I can't eat this, I can't eat that. The only thing I was left for her to eat was lettuce. I felt like I was feeding a rabbit. I was terrible. She was a steak.
Pizza bread.
Yeah. I'm telling you, like, there's mamash tzaddikus. These people are dead. They're bringing the Mashiach. They're going to be up there in the top. That's why I think when Rabbi Zohar came to BGX, he said, Mashiach is going to come from here. I didn't know what he's talking about. When I see these people, I understand. It's amazing. But this is what the Chachamim is saying. That if you want to have a seer, it's to make shalom. Because that's the remedy. That's the tikkun. For the Yemei Tzara. For the Chorban. To make shalom, so you have to have people over, and you have to share Torah. I'll tell you something from the Shari Yisosar, from the B'nai Yisosar of Lukash. Mamash, wow, Tifa Vart, Tifa Vart. Mamash, amazing. You know what he says? He says that Samael, he says, these are the Yemei Samael. Tammuz and Av, the summer months is when the sun just go in the streets. See how people are dressed. They're barely dressed. Mamash, really, the Tzniya says, Oyem Benar Haf, and it's just Geferl Shenkamoy. He says, well, that's why. It's the Yemei Esav, Samael. He says that's why you should make a siyum, because samach yud vav mem is what samach mem aleph lam is siyum mesechta ein lasos. That samal doesn't want you to make a siyum. Therefore, you don't have to make a siyum. But I'll tell you about shalom. L'maisa Rosh Chodesh Av is, as we said, is arna koyim bolz yotzeit. I'll tell you a shtickle of drush. The only in the entire Torah, Kedoshu, I think, if I'm not mistaken, the only person that says Ve'ivku Kol Beis Yisrael, that everyone, bar none, every single person, man, woman, and child, cried, was for Aaron HaKadosh. Ask the Rabbeinu B'chayim! Bamba Kasha! He says, how could it be that they cried, their mourning was less intense for Moshe Rabbeinu than for Aaron HaKadosh? He said, it doesn't make any sense. Moshe Rabbeinu was Adonai HaNevi'im. The Rambam passes and Moshe Rabbeinu was also the Melech. He was the Mashiach Hashem. Yismach Moshe the Malas Chalka, you see in the Davini? Yismach Moshe Rabbeinu was happy. Is Oisius Mashiach Hashem? Because Simcha brings, Rav Nachman says, Simcha brings Mashiach. So how could it be that they mourned more for Aaron than they mourned for Moshe Rabbeinu? So Rabbeinu Chai says, Gavaldi Yathush. He says, you know why? He says, Aaron HaKohen Gadol, he was Roi Lev Shalom. He was the ultimate marriage therapist and counselor. And he knew how to make people reconcile with one another and mend their differences. And therefore they cried more for him. Ask the Imre Emes, the Ger Rebbe. You'll notice I'm quoting the Ger Rebbe's a lot because my name is Finger. Imre Emes says, he says, I still can understand. How could it be that they don't mourn Moshe Rabbeinu on the level of Aaron HaKohen Gadol? So Imre Emes' Masbir explains that the reason why they mourned and they had a greater bereavement process and they were inconsolable for Aaron HaKohen Gadol was because Moshe Rabbeinu prepared them slowly for his Petira, for his demise. Aaron HaKohen Gadol was pissoin. It was sudden. It was a sudden death. And therefore, they were caught by surprise and was more traumatic for them. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu was more, it was subtle, it was slow, but they were prepared for his petir. Oh, but the Beis Yisrael, Nachagar Rebbe, the Beis Yisrael says a different part. He says the reason why they mourned more for Aaron than for Moshe Rabbeinu, he says he quotes the Zohar HaKadosh, and Zohar says, Ishbatus Tusa. He says, because Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, he radiated. And through osmosis, The people picked up his Torah, and it became inborn. It became intrinsic. It became innate in the people. And therefore, even though Moshe Rabbeinu left, he was still present. And they didn't have to mourn him. Of Aaron. Who replaced, who was the substitute for Aaron? Who, it says in Heavenly Mitami, Dov Shel Aaron. And if I'm not mistaken, I think it's first row, who's Medakik over there, who has a very, very beautiful deduction. And he says, it doesn't say you could be like Aaron. You could try to aspire. You could have an ambition to be like Aaron, aspire to be like Aaron, but no one could be like Aaron. You could try to emulate Aaron, but Aaron was the epitome, the personification of being an Oyev Shalom, Baroidev Shalom, and no one could come close to him, and therefore the mourning was so intense because of that. As I said, that's what the basic role says.
However, there's noch a chiddush.
And the chiddush is from the Kol Rabosi. Says Masechus Kol Rabosi, and when it says Vayivku Kol Beis Yisrael, it encompassed men and women, but it also included children. How were children, how did they have the antennas? How were they receptive to understand the mourning? Because there were 80,000 children. Listen to this amazing Kiddush. There were 80,000 kindalav with the name Aharon. Each of these children were born to couples that had altercation, that had some kind of friction, that had shalom bayis, domestic issues at home. And Aharon Kohen Gadol was the therapist, he was the PhD that knew how to reconcile them. And as Hakar Satoi, each of these couples, 80,000 couples, named the Yindalach, the Rachanimol Aharon. These were the Kol Beis Yisrael that cried because he brought peace, because he brought shalom. The boy Sai, Reb Chaim Palagi, the Heilig Reb Chaim Palagi, writes that there were times that he saw neighbors of his fighting. I guess back then they didn't have air conditioning, so the windows had to be open, and you were privy to things more so, even though Matoivo Lecha Yaakov, even though we know that you're not supposed to look in your neighbor's windows, but you can hear things. You don't have to be an eavesdropper to hear things. And sometimes it can be volatile. And sometimes you can hear people getting infuriated and losing their, and you know, getting kas, anger. And therefore, Chaim Palagi says that he went to different homes and he knocked on their doors and he would sit with the couple in his ingenious way, how he did it, how he was able to manipulate and maneuver. He did it. And he says, there's no greater skus. Listen, I don't know how many of your neighbors will like if you knocked on their doors to try to be the peacemaker. But you know, even if you knock on the door and you run away, at least you created a diversion. Where they're trying to think, instead of fighting amongst themselves, they're fighting about who was the one that was knocking the door, who was the prankster that knocked the door. It is a halach. That's all we were kind of Palagi. The Chidah says, the Hilchos Rabbi Yosi Chaim Dov Azulai, what the Chidah says? The Chidah says that when there's a lack of shalom, and there's something we all have to think about. Because unfortunately, in Klal Yisrael today, there is so much judgment. We have greatness. Klal Yisrael, there's no me Klal Yisrael, there's no one like Klal Yisrael. But there are things that we have to work on. And Lamaisa, Beinenu, we could say that there's a certain type of elitism amongst Klal Yisrael where we look askance, we look in a condescending fashion, a disparaging way amongst those that are not like us. That guy's, he's more from, he's less from, he's not from at all. That's not the mahalach. The Chidah says that when there's a lack of achdus, he says, Nezek Gadol Boloim, and he gives different examples. I don't want to articulate what he says because I don't want to hashon be pischon peh, I don't want to be mekatrid. But the Nezek Gadol that he says can happen amongst a family, amongst a community, terrible things. Hopefully, the fellow, terrible things. But I want to conclude because I see the time is up. I want to conclude with the Peleyoitz. And the Peleyoitz says that if you can make shalom, and I've had people that came to me with really, really bizarre situations. I guess not so bizarre. Whether it's, you know, inheritance disputes, whether it's sibling rivalry, whatever it was. But I always try to encourage the people to make peace. First of all, it says, Hasam b'gvulei shalom chelek yitnu yasbir. If you make peace in your boundaries, in your confines, you'll be satiated with the greatest wealth blessings. So it's a great bracha to have. But the Peleyoitz says that if you make peace, he says, it's like your Ribbono Shel Olam is giving you 1,000 extra years to live. Psh! What a bracha! What a bracha! So this is our topic. When are you made Mitzar now? It's a time that unfortunately, endemic to Klal Yisrael, it's ripe for the Chmol Shel for the not the good things. And the way that we could galvanize to talk and not see a Tisha B'Av. No one wants to see a Tisha B'Av. We have to daven if there is a Tisha B'Av, that the weather not be as extreme as it was in Shavuos Thomas. But as we mentioned, our coolers, But of course, consult with your Rav. Don't take my foolish. Consult with the Rav first. But if we don't want the Tisha B'Av in Gansu, we don't want to see it, then we have to make sure to have as much Avas Chinam as possible. To love unconditionally our fellow Yidden. To be makarav as many people as possible, and to have shalom in our families, shalom in our neighborhoods, and shalom in our communities. Gershon Shkar, thank you all for listening, and thank you for coming. Shkar, thank you.
Yeah.